What's going on, everyone? This is the Fantasy Playbook Podcast. My name is Kyle Yates, and I'm your host. I can be found on Twitter at KyleYNFL. I am joined today by Jake Hubbin of the Fantasy Headliners. His work can be found over at youtube.com/thefantasyheadliners. Man, 150,000 subscribers just recently. Wanted to say congratulations for that, man. First time getting to jump onto a podcast together. I'm looking forward to this one. How are you doing today?
Yeah, 100%. Thank you so much. 150,000 is... it's mind-blowing. We are very blessed, for sure. But yeah, we haven't really had a chance to talk a whole lot, but I know we've been following each other on Twitter forever, so I'm glad we have an opportunity here to hop on together and go through a mock draft.
The final mock draft of the offseason here over on the Fantasy Playbook. So I'm a little emotional, man. I've been doing these mock drafts since like March.
Ever.
So yeah, it feels like this is the end of an era. But we were talking about this a little bit before we started recording. We are now about to get into the routine of the season. And whew, man, that's just what my soul needs right about now. All right, let's get into a question of the day here before we get into this mock draft. Who is one player for you, Jake, that has seen their stock rise, in your opinion, or the most over this week? This week's been nuts already. We're recording this on Wednesday. It's been nuts, but with a lot of transactions here. But who is one player that you think has seen their stock rise the most?
I don't know if I could say anybody else other than Damian Pierce, and I'm going to say that in a way that I don't like it, because I may be kind of on my own a little bit here. I don't love Damian Pierce as much as everybody else seems to love him. They've kind of gone out and crowned him as like the next Barry Sanders, LaDainian Tomlinson. Sure. People talking about taking him in the first three rounds. I mean, it's just absolutely ridiculous how much he has rose ever since they cut Marlon Mack. And as soon as that happened, it's like everybody lost their mind. And Damian Pierce has just skyrocketed to a level that me personally, I am no longer interested in.
So let's talk about that. What is that level where you are interested in him, right? Because you're interested in every player from a fantasy standpoint, yep, if the price is right, right? So looking at Damian Pierce, if we're getting him into the first three rounds, okay, yeah, I agree with you. And I've been the Damian Pierce truther all offseason, but like, yeah, we get into the first three rounds, okay, we're going a little bit too far. What is that price for you where you do feel comfortable taking him in drafts?
I mean, I really want him to be my running back four on my roster. Okay. If I can get him somewhere right around that 7, 8, 9 round range, then all of a sudden I'm okay with it. But I still look at it as a running back that was very touchdown dependent in college, didn't have the overall backfield to himself, and now he goes to a situation where he's going to get volume, but how valuable is that volume going to be from a perspective that the offensive line average or so? How many scoring opportunities is he going to have in Houston? Are there enough weapons on the outside to pull defenders outside of the box? There's just so many other things that go into it that I just don't want to have to go into week one and rely on him. I kind of want to see how it plays out a little bit, have him on my bench the first few weeks. If it works out, great. By that time, if I already have three stud running backs, I have myself some trade bait. If right. One of the guys I drafted early gets hurt or doesn't pan out, then I can fill in the slot with Damian Pierce. But I just don't want to go into week one and be reliant on him.
I think that's an excellent point, the going into week one and being reliant upon it, because you're looking at the players that you draft here. Like week one, don't get too cute with your start sit, right? Mm-hmm. Like you're playing the players that you drafted highly and you're going to be playing those guys, and maybe in the flex conversation you get matchups. But if we get to the point of Damian Pierce's ADP rising so drastically, and right now, if you're going into drafts here, you know, tonight as you're listening to this or this weekend, Damian Pierce's ADP is a complete, like, people are going to be taking him well above where he is in the queue on the platform that you're drafting. So you're going to have to try to figure this out as you go throughout it. But I do think that I'm a little bit more optimistic on Damian Pierce. It sounds like as an RB3, borderline RB2 on my roster, I think RB2, you're stretching it a little thin there. That's kind of where I am. But yeah, let's stay measured here with Damian Pierce. I do agree, stock has risen, but yet let's not go too crazy here where we're talking about him within the first 3-4 rounds of your draft. A low-end RB2, high-end RB3 for me this year in rankings. All right, let's get into this mock draft here. Let's waste no time. A full PPR mock draft here today presented by Sleeper. Join millions of players today and download the Sleeper app to stay on top of all the latest and breaking news in the NFL and to get in some quick and final mock drafts. It took me less than 2 minutes to set up this mock draft here over on Sleeper. Incredibly easy to knock out here. So full PPR format, I've got the 1-1, Jake has got the 1-10. I don't think that I have drafted at the 1-1 in quite a while, so looking forward to this one. We'll see how it goes. We got the rosters here. We got one quarterback, two running back, two wide receivers, a tight end, one flex spot, a kicker in defense. It's the last mock of the offseason. Thought I would finally throw in a kicker in defense. And then six bench spots here. All right, Jake, you ready to kick this off?
I absolutely am ready.
All right, let's get it. Here we go. All right, we are starting this draft, and obviously I am on the clock right away here. So I'm not going to get too cute. You full PPR format, Christian McCaffrey, but I talked about this on a recent podcast where if you are taking Christian McCaffrey over Jonathan Taylor, there is a very realistic possibility that that works out for you. From a projection standpoint, Christian McCaffrey for me is RB1 from a projections, and assuming that he plays all 17 games, and it's not even close. However, if Christian McCaffrey does deal with injuries yet again, and we see Jonathan Taylor continue to just dominate this year, it is going to absolutely ruin your fantasy season watching Jonathan Taylor, knowing that you could have had him, and instead you got a little bit too cute there and went with Christian McCaffrey. I'm going to go Jonathan Taylor off the board here at the 1-1. So we got Austin Eckler going off the board at the 1-2, Christian McCaffrey, Derrick Henry, Cooper Kupp, Justin Jefferson, Davante Adams, Joe Mixon, Najee Harris, and you are now on the clock, my friend, at the 1-10.
And I'm absolutely pumped, and I'm actually I'm kind of shocked that Dalvin Cook is sitting right here and sitting at me at the number 10 spot. I don't really understand why that is the case. I don't really think I've ever seen him fall to the 110 before, but I'm absolutely going to take Dalvin Cook right here and be super pumped about it.
Yeah, I love Dalvin Cook this year. I think we're going to see some positive touchdown regression here from him this year, where we saw 45 red zone rush attempts last year, five touchdowns in that area of the field. So I think we're going to see Dalvin Cook bounce back in a big way this year, on top of potentially being involved more as a receiver in this offense, this new offense. We got Ja'Marr Chase, Nick Chubb, Travis Kelce, Alvin Kamara around the turn. I'm not going to run through every single pick here in this mock draft. If you want to see this play out, youtube.com/thefantasyplaybook. Hit that like button while you are here. All right, at the 2-3, you are now on the clock after going Dalvin Cook in the first round.
And if anybody's ever watched me, they know how much I love running backs early. And as much as there's guys like Stephon Diggs on the board right now who I probably should take, I'm not going to. I'm relying heavily on running backs early. And I'm going with the biggest playmaker, in my opinion, in Green Bay, being Aaron Jones. A lot of people want to look at A.J. Dillon, and that's cool. A.J. Dillon's going to get close to 225 touches as well. But Aaron Jones, still the big play guy that doesn't need 20-plus touches a week to get you a big day.
Yeah, I love Aaron Jones this year, especially in full PPR formats. I think you're going to see, you know, Aaron Jones definitely be heavily involved as a receiver around this formation. You're going to see him moved around and utilized there alongside AJ Dillon. So in a full PPR format, especially, and when we look at the running back position there in the, you know, the 20 range, after we get past AJ Dillon, I think you're talking about Josh Jacobs, you know, Antonio Gibson, like a bunch of these other guys where there's a lot of uncertainty. Aaron Jones at least provides you the ability, like you are locking up two of those top tier running backs. That's crucial, because at that point, then in the third, fourth, fifth round, sixth round, you can really start to hammer some of those wide receivers and get some good value. All right, for me, Jonathan Taylor at the 1-1, back on the clock here at the 2-12. I talked about that strategy here of locking up some of those running backs. I'm going to go with Ezekiel Elliott here. I think people are overreacting to Zeke a little bit too much from what we saw last year. And I think this is a perfect point to be taking the shot on Ezekiel Elliott and getting that upside, getting that workload. I think what we saw last year was directly correlated to playing through that partially torn PCL, but I think we're going to see the workload still there for Ezekiel Elliott. I think we're going to see him involved as a receiver more in this offense too. So Ezekiel Elliott here at the 212, lock up that running back position. Now I can look at the wide receiver spot here, as I've got Jonathan Taylor and Zeke on my roster, Keenan Allen, Mike Evans, AJ Brown, T. Higgins, Michael Pittman Jr. here a little bit further down the board. Let's go ahead and do Michael Pittman Jr. here at the 3-1. Maybe a little bit of a reach, but this is someone who I am very, very high on this upcoming season. Michael Pittman Jr. here at the 3-1. Love adding him here as the wide receiver 1.
Yeah, I love me some Michael Pittman this year. And another guy that I love is one that's kind of fallen to me once again here in the third. And I love some Kyle Pitts this year, and I think that a lot of people see Kyle Pitts as a letdown after last year because they only looked at box scores. This guy was a rookie tight end in an offense that wasn't the greatest, and he still went out there and produced top seven, top six tight end numbers depending on your scoring format. And this year now, absolutely love it. I'm going to go with Kyle Pitts here in the third.
We are 1 week away from the start of the NFL season, which means that this is your last chance to get involved in some NFL futures action over on Prize Picks. Getting started is super easy. Head over to prizepicks.com and sign up with the promo code FFPlaybook. It's going to get you a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. Then you pick 2 to 5 players and an over-under on their projections, and you can win up to 10 times on any entry. It's just you versus the projected numbers. I wanted to do one last sweep through their over-under offerings just to see if there were any last chance ones that I should take advantage of, and two immediately caught my eye. Justin Fields' rushing touchdown prop of 3.5 is an easy over for me. This is one of the most mobile quarterbacks in the entire league that's finally with a coaching staff that understands his legs are a weapon. He'll be used heavily around the goal line, so this was an easy selection for me. Also, A.J. Dillon at 6.5 rushing touchdowns seemed a bit low to me. On just 187 rush attempts last season, Dillon had 5 rushing touchdowns. If we're anticipating that he's going to see his opportunity increase this year in Green Bay, the touchdowns should easily follow. From there, it's just a few clicks and you're ready to roll for 2022. Get involved in the incredibly easy way to play some over-unders and the opportunity to win 10 times on any entry over at prizepicks.com with the code FFPlaybook. Again, that's the code FFPlaybook to get a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. All right, so we got that tight end for you here after going double running back. And again, I do like the strategy here because the wide receiver value really, really hits here in the fourth, fifth, sixth round if you want to go that route. So we got Deontay Johnson, Justin Herbert, T. Higgins going off the board at the 4-1. That's surprising to me. Then Terry McLaurin, you are now back on the clock at the 4-3.
And normally I would be right here and be like, you know what, I need to look at a wide receiver. But the way that I operate is I'm still looking at running back because I'm like, you know what, if I can get three guys that I can start every single week, if I get the right guy, you can't score fantasy points without getting touches. So I'm trying to maximize touches the first, you know, few rounds. And if I can get three running backs who have verge 18 to 20 touches a week, I'm starting every week with 60 touches that I know about. So honestly, I could go Travis Etienne right here in a PPR format. I'm not overly high on Cam Akers or David Montgomery.
Yep.
Josh Jacobs becomes somewhat of a little bit of an option now. No Kenyon Drake in Las Vegas. I don't want to overly reach for it, though. Jalen Waddle's a name that I love. DJ Moore could be a nice, solid, safe wide receiver. But if it's me, I'm still going to gamble. I'm going to go with one of the guys I love this offseason. In the PPR, I'm going with Travis Etienne.
I love that. I've talked about the Etienne all offseason, saying as an RB1 on your roster, and that's too much. That's too much to depend on Travis Etienne. As an RB2, you can get on board with that. As an RB3, now we're talking, right? Etienne brings nothing but upside at that point where you don't have to completely rely on him. So you get Etienne here at the 4-3 as your RB3 on your roster. That's incredible value. I'm now back on the clock at the 4-12 here. Looking at some of these running backs, it's Josh Jacobs, it's J.K. Dobbins. J.K. Dobbins, we don't even know if he's going to be out there week one at this point. Buyer beware with Dobbins. Antonio Gibson becomes a little bit more intriguing here at this point of ADP with the Brian Robinson situation. Obviously wishing a very speedy recovery there for Brian Robinson. Elijah Mitchell, I'm going to go AJ Dillon here as I have back-to-back picks. You took Aaron Jones at the 2-3. I'll go AJ Dillon here at the 4-12. And I think that this is still a perfect value point for Dillon. He brings incredible upside this year as someone who, if Aaron Jones does deal with injury, then you've got a potential top five fantasy football running back on your hands. Otherwise, I think he's going to, you mentioned like 225 touches. I think that's easy here to accomplish for AJ Dillon on top of potentially goal line work as well. So Dillon here at the 4-12 to be my RB3. Let's take care of that running back position. Let's lock it up. All right, here at the 5-1, back-to-back selections here. AJ Dillon, I'm going to go with the guy who I'm very high on. I'm interested to hear your thoughts here on Allen Robinson, Jake. I'm going to go Allen Robinson here at the 5-1. Just came out with a bold predictions podcast yesterday. And Allen Robinson, I said him and Cooper Kupp potentially both finishing. Keep in mind, this was a bold prediction. Potentially finishing as top five fantasy football wide receivers this year in LA. I love the opportunity that he's got. I think this is a big bounce back campaign for Allen Robinson. So I'll go Robinson here at the 5-1 to pair with Michael Pittman Jr. All right, you are back on the clock here at the 5-12. Any thoughts there on Allen Robinson?
I absolutely love Allen Robinson, and so many people are off that bandwagon because of what happened last year, and they're forgetting that how much better this situation is this year. It's two totally different situations. I have no doubt that they could, you know, finish both top 12 end of the season. It wouldn't surprise me whatsoever. So I love the pick of Allen Robinson. I had him in my queue. Didn't expect him to fall back to me, but here we are. For my pick, now it's getting to the point, right, where I'm kind of like, all right, well, maybe I should really pay attention to wide receiver. I was hoping that some of these guys, like maybe a Brandon Cooks or Cortland Sutton, would fall. They didn't. I'm going to go the youth movement here. There's two guys, and honestly, one of them is going to be a sexy guy that everybody likes, but the other one that probably I come back with in the sixth, people are going to scratch their head a little bit, but I'm going to explain myself. First off, though, I'm going to go with Amon-Ra as my first guy here. I still feel that Amon-Ra is going to be the guy that gets the volume in that offense, especially early on in the season. DJ Chark going to stretch the field a little bit. Jameson Williams not going to be 100% to start the year. We know that the connection is there with Amon-Ra already, and I'm looking for targets. I'm looking for opportunities. I do not like Michael Thomas. Now, he's sitting right here, and he could be somebody that, if he pans out as a top 12, top 15 guy, I get as an absolute steal in the sixth. But this offense is just different in New Orleans. It's not the same team that we're used to with Drew Brees 3 years ago when Michael Thomas is just racking up points. I'm looking at the now and, you know, in present. And honestly, I cannot pass in any draft in the sixth round. I love Juju this year. Okay. Juju is a guy that's going to be the number one wide receiver target in this offense. Travis Kelce is still going to be the number one option. But after Juju, I don't dislike the Sky Moores and MVSs and Mecole Hardmans, but they're all going to be boom or bust each and every week. And it's going to be kind of hard to pinpoint which guy is going to produce which week. So Juju is going to be the guy that can rack up those targets every week. And now that I kind of waited on wide receiver, I need to rack up some of those targets.
Yeah, I think that's what you're looking at here with those wide receiver picks of Amon-Ra St. Brown and Juju. There's an easy path for volume for both those guys, right? And if you don't, like, at that point where you took a Kyle Pitts, you got Travis Etienne, you've got your running back spot, your tight end spot's kind of solidified there. You need to go with some safety. You need to go with some solid options there at the wide receiver position versus taking that swing for the fence, that upside, the gamble of a Michael Thomas there. So Juju Smith-Schuster off the board there at the 6-3. I'm now back on the clock here at the 6-12. And listen, Gabe Davis is still sitting here for me. I don't know what side of the fence you fall on here with Gabe Davis this year, but I am all in for this player. I'm going to go Gabe Davis here, one of my guys for this season here at the 6-12 as I have back-to-back selections. So now I've got Jonathan Taylor, Ezekiel Elliott, Michael Pittman Jr., A.J. Dillon, Allen Robinson, and Gabe Davis is my wide receiver three here. Absolutely loving this start to the draft. Let's take a look at some of the running backs that I've got on the board. Miles Sanders, Damian Harris, Kareem Hunt, Cordell Patterson, Tony Pollard, Kenneth Walker. It's kind of gross in this range. Let's go a little bit further down the board here. You said as an RB4 on your roster, you'd be comfortable with him. Let's get him off the board here. Damian Pierce off the board here at the 7-1. I don't need to rely on Damian Pierce. In your actual draft, you might go a lot earlier than this. Like we talked about, there's going to be a wide variance here with Damian Pierce. But taking advantage of the ADP here, the fact that it hasn't caught up to the upside and where Damian Pierce is actually going in drafts, I will take advantage of that here, get Pierce off the board at the 7-1, and really just solidify and take care of that running back core for me. Damian Pierce is my RB4. You are now on the clock at the 7-10.
Yeah, now that you got him as your number four, I'm on board again. You see what I mean? It all depends how it plays out. As your RB4, Don't mind it whatsoever. Now, I'd love myself some Drake London. Do I want to have both Drake London and Kyle Pitts? Probably not. I don't know if I want to go to a stack in the Atlanta offense or not. So when I'm looking at wide receivers here, there are some guys that are actually a little bit further down the board that I'd rather take a stab on. So what I'm going to do, I'm going for more running back depth. And there's a couple guys still sitting there that I absolutely love. I did a video on Tony Pollard earlier this offseason where I think Tony Pollard has a path to finish top 15, especially since the injury to left tackle Tyron Smith in Dallas, where they may have to rely a little bit more on that short passing game. That fits Tony Pollard, and he doesn't need 300 touches. If we can get him 180 to 200, you're going to be pleasantly surprised. Then coming back around, now I'll look at that wide receiver because I know that I'm going to have to wait a little bit. I'm not going to be able to, you know, have the luxury of just, you know, having somebody fall to me, because the way this has gone, all the wide receivers I have wanted have been taken. So I'm looking for that safety. I'm looking for that path to volume. I'm looking for targets. And right now, there's a few guys that kind of stand out. I love myself some Elijah Moore. Kind of some questions what's going on there with the quarterback situation, though. Allen Lazard. Everyone expects Allen Lazard to go out there and get a ton of volume. Am I overly banking on that? I don't know. Brandon Ayuk, I like with now Trey Lance under center. You can drop all the way down, and Christian Kirk is another name that I think has a huge path to volume. Yep. But me, I'm going to take a slight gamble here on a little bit of upside, and I'm going to go with Elijah Moore as my number three.
All right. Does the injury to Zach Wilson play a factor into this as far as like going to Joe Flacco? We actually saw Elijah Moore be pretty productive with Joe Flacco last year and kind of hit and miss with Zach Wilson. So with the start of the season, are you kind of banking on a hot start here for Elijah Moore with Joe Flacco?
I don't mind it with Flacco. Is it like all of a sudden am I super pumped that Joe Flacco is a starting quarterback? No, right. But it's something where I'm not overly worried about it. Plus Zach Wilson, I'm still somewhat of a Zach Wilson truther. I do believe that he takes a step forward once he gets back on the field this year. And Elijah Moore, as much as I like Garrett Wilson, I think Elijah Moore is still the safety blanket in that offense.
All right, I'm back on the clock here at the 8-12. Taking a look at the tight end position, it's Pat Freiermuth, Mike Gesicki, Cole Kmet. I'm going to wait on that position here. I do like Cole Kmet, but not here in the 8th round. Let's go back to the wide receiver position. Brandon Ayuk, Tyler Lockett, Treylon Burks, Chris Olave. You mentioned Christian Kirk. He's still here on the board. Those are some of the top names available. Got four running backs at this point. Probably going to just hold off on that. Taking a look here at the quarterback position, though, let's go with Trey Lance, get him off the board here. Jimmy Garoppolo, re-signing here, restructuring the contract. I don't think that this plays a role in where Trey Lance should go in drafts. it's at least a little bit concerning where, you know, if Kyle Shanahan doesn't give Trey Lance as long of a leash as I think he's going to need, then, you know, we could see, does he have the patience to wait that out, or does he just turn and go to Jimmy Garoppolo? That's kind of the concern here, but Trey Lance going to get off to a hot start right away from a fantasy standpoint with his rushing ability, what he can bring to the table there. So Trey Lance off the board at the 8-12. Back on the clock here at the 9-1 coming around that turn. Let's go with a San Francisco stack here. Let's go with some upside as I've got Michael Pittman Jr., Allen Robinson, Gabe Davis on my roster. Let's get Brandon Ayuk here as my wide receiver 4. Go for some upside here and see. You know, we don't know. We don't know what this offense is going to look like with Debo Samuel, with George Kittle, with Brandon Ayuk when they're all healthy. All reports have been that Brandon Ayuk is dominating training camp in the preseason here for San Francisco. So I'm going to go with Ayuk here, go for a little bit of upside there as my wide receiver 4. All right, you are coming back on the clock here at the 9-10. Let me run through your roster here really quick. You got Dalvin Cook, Aaron Jones, Kyle Pitts, Travis Etienne, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Juju Smith-Schuster, Tony Pollard, which I did really like that pick there at the 7-10, Elijah Moore at the 8-3. You are now back on the clock at the 9-10.
Yep, and one of the guys we talked about from a safety perspective from wide receiver is back here again, Christian Kirk. So I'm going to take the safer bet, but this is a somewhat of a little gamble. I'm hoping by paying attention to the draft board that even though it's autoing here at 11 and 12, they don't take a second quarterback. And that's the reason why I'm not taking a quarterback right here, because I can come back and get one in round 10. Hopefully that doesn't backfire, because right now I'm taking the targets in Christian Kirk and then come back around and I should be able to get my quarterback here. And really it's between Derek Carr and Kirk Cousins, and I don't mind either one of them from round 10 on this year. Those are two guys that I've really paid attention to later in drafts. Derek Carr has been verge top 12 for back-to-back years, but yet nobody wants to pay attention to it and, you know, disregard the fact that he's really had no one to throw to besides a banged up Darren Waller at times and then Hunter Renfrow last year. Outside of that, guy hasn't had a whole lot. Now he gets Devontae Adams, and he's already been verge top 12. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to go with Derek Carr.
Yeah, I love that. You didn't panic here, as we've got a lot of teams in this auto lobby that have taken a second quarterback, right? So you've got some quarterbacks flying off the board there. Didn't panic. You get Derek Carr here as that borderline top 12 guy for me in rankings. Love the call there. Still plenty of upside for Carr this year in Las Vegas at the 10-3. All right, I'm back up on the clock here at the 10-12. Let's take a look at that tight end position here. Hunter Henry, Tyler Higbee, Irv Smith, Noah Fant, Robert Tonyan. Those are some of the other names on the board. I really, really like David Njoku this year. Looking at Njoku with Jacoby Brissett, probably not going to be a top 5 fantasy football option, but the volume is going to be there in this offense. Then we get some upside when Deshaun Watson does return to the field in week 13 there. So I think Njoku is a fantastic selection at this point of drafts when we see some of these tight ends. There are several teams that have taken two quarterbacks and two tight ends at this point of the draft. So I will get David Njoku here. And then after that, it gets pretty gross, right? As we're looking at some of those tight ends. So let's take care of that tight end position. Got Trey Lance and David Njoku. Take care of the quarterback and tight end position. All right. Here at the 11-1, taking a look at the running back spot, I've got Michael Carter, James Robinson, Alexander Mattison, Nyheim Hines. There's some really, really solid names there in a full PPR format. The wide receiver position, Sky Moore, Tyler Boyd, Julio Jones, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, some of the names that are on the top of the board. I would probably go Marquez Valdes-Scantling here at the wide receiver position, get that boom-bust potential there in Kansas City this year. But Michael Carter, Alexander Mattison, Nyheim Hines, they're all on the board there. I'm going to go with Alexander Mattison. Mattison here, the subject of trade talks, there is still the possibility that he gets traded here before the start of the season. I think he is worth taking the shot on here in the 11th round because of that potential. There are several teams that he could be traded to where he instantly walks in as the starting running back from a talent standpoint. Then we have still the insurance policy as my RB5, as the backup here to Dalvin Cook, where as an RB5 in my roster, I don't have to play Alexander Mattison. I can let him sit on my bench. I can let him wait until I absolutely need him. But we've seen Mattison, when he does get the opportunity, be a, you know, just a top 5 fantasy football running back because of his talent level. So Mattison off the board there at the 11-1. You're now on the clock at the 11-10.
I'm convinced that the auto drafters here have a look at my queue, because both Nyheim Hines and Tyler Boyd were sitting in it, and then they are gone right before I pick. So what we're going to do is we're going to go back to this wide receiver position. I'm sure a lot of people are going to look at this and say, man, Amon-Ra, Juju, Elijah Moore, Christian Kirk, that's not that great. I may think a little bit differently, but I'm still trying to find those safer targets. There's really not a whole lot left at the running back position. I don't mind Isaiah Spiller or Rashad White a little bit later, but not somebody who I plan on using anytime soon, and I'm trying to find guys that have that value early. So I'm looking at the wide receiver position. We got Marquez Valdes-Scantling, MVS, there at the top, which you mentioned. I still have a little bit of love in my heart for Devontae Parker. As a number one wide receiver for the New England Patriots, it's a team that may not throw a lot, but he's going to get the red zone looks with Hunter Henry, and I'm just going to take a stab on drafting a team's number one here this late.
Yeah, I think it's worth the upside shot, right? You're at the 11-10. You start to take some swings for the fences. So Devontae Parker there at the 11-10. You're back on the clock at the 12-3.
Yep, and now, I mean, part of me really wants to go with a running back, but when you look at what's available, there's really not a whole lot that's left that's appealing to you. I mean, Kenyon Drake's name has been in the news lately about what's going to happen with the start of J.K. Dobbins. We know Gus Edwards won't be there, so he's somebody who gets some run early. Isaiah Spiller, who I love, but what's going to happen, you know, in this backfield, exactly how much is he going to touch the ball with Austin Eckler? I still feel right now that Rashad White has a opportunity, if something were to happen to Leonard Fournette, to go on there and get some decent touches with Tampa Bay. I'm going to gamble a little bit. I'm going to go with Isaiah Spiller and then hope that they kind of want to not overwork Austin Eckler this year and give this kid an opportunity to get some touches, because they're going to have the most scoring opportunities.
Yeah, I think once we're in this point of draft, I've talked about this, you know, all offseason, saying like, once we're in this point of draft, the final few rounds here, take those swing for the fences picks, take those upside picks where you're going to find out really quickly what you have. With Devontae Parker, you're going to find out, is he actually the wide receiver one in this offense? Because there's still some uncertainty there. Isaiah Spiller, is he actually the running back to roster here in Los Angeles? Or is it Joshua Kelly? Is it, you know, one of these other guys there? So we're going to find out pretty quickly with Isaiah Spiller. And if it isn't, then it's the 12th pick, right? Your 12th pick. You just move on pretty quickly and you pick up a hot week one waiver wire ad there. So Isaiah Spiller off the board at the 12-3. I'm back on the clock here at the 12-12. Let's go with Khalil Herbert here. I think that he fits this classification of Alexander Mattison, where might move somewhat into the low end flex conversation if the offense here looks at, you know, kind of what I'm projecting with Khalil Herbert, where we could see him see enough work alongside David Montgomery there to be in the low end flex conversation. But then the upside is absolutely there if David Montgomery misses time again with an injury this year. So Khalil Herbert, incredibly talented, banking on that. Go here at the 12-12. Then I'm back on the clock at the 13-1. I'm going to go Michael Gallup. And this was interesting. Just this past week, we had Jerry Jones talking about where if week one was the Super Bowl, right? And this is a classic Jerry Jones quote, but if week one was the Super Bowl, then Michael Gallup would be out there. So I think Gallup is closer to returning than I think a lot of people are anticipating. I will go Gallup here at the 13-1. I can let him sit. I can let him wait on my bench until he is fully ready to come back. And at that point, I potentially have a top 30 wide receiver that I got here in the 13th round. All right, you're back on the clock at the 13-10.
Yep. Now, typically, you know, I only go with one tight end. I'll only go with one quarterback, and I'll play the waiver wire a little bit later on. But there are a few names that at this point in the draft, if they're still sitting there, I'm going to take a stab on them. One of them who I just cannot hop off the Irv Smith Jr. bandwagon. And I just feel like this guy in this offense in Minnesota, it's already come out that he could be ready to go week one. He's not a need for me, but if something were to happen to Kyle Pitts and this offense does take the step forward that a lot of people are expecting, Irv Smith Jr. could definitely be somebody who, you know, surprises a lot of people. Now we got what? We got two rounds left, and I haven't taken a defense or a kicker, which you should never take a defense or a kicker before the last two rounds. Definitely not a kicker. Heck, in most leagues, and I don't even know if it's going to let me do it here, I don't even draft a kicker. I'll just pick up an extra bench spot, and then right before the season starts, I'll drop one that's not going to have that opportunity. So I'm going to look for a defense here because I feel like it's the right time. I guess it's the very end. Got the Colts, the Broncos, the Steelers, the Patriots, the Browns here at the top. Honestly, none of them really jump off the screen. I'm going to go with the Indianapolis Colts. I feel like they have the most playmakers on that side of the football. Yannick Ngakoue now helping rack up some sacks, hopefully. So I'm going with the Colts.
All right, the Colts are at the 14-3, and you are absolutely correct with that strategy there of if you do play in a league with a defense and a kicker, maybe you're taking a shot here with one of those guys in your final two rounds, but a kicker for sure. I am looking at a guy that I'm going to draft here and just kind of hope that I get some clarity. And if it doesn't happen over the next 2 weeks, then I can easily move on from them. So I'm going to go Isaiah Pacheco here at the 14-12, still here on the board. Pacheco, we might get clarity over the next week and a half here before the first week of the regular season where, okay, Isaiah Pacheco is the RB2. Andy Reid comes out and says he's the RB2 here in this offense. Great. Now I've got Pacheco on my roster. If he isn't, if we don't get that clarity, okay, then I can move on from Pacheco here and pick up that kicker here in the, you know, right before week one. So 15-1, my final selection here. I'm going to go with the Denver Broncos defense. I think this offense is going to help take some of the pressure off of this defense. This defense is loaded with playmakers too. I think this is a really, really solid unit. I'm going to go Denver here at the 15-1 and lock up that defense here. All right, you are now back on the clock here at the 15-10. Are you deploying that strategy? Are you going to take a kicker here, or are you going to take one of those bench guys?
If it's going to let me not take a kicker, I'm going to not take a kicker. So what I'm here, I will say this though, for kickers, if you have to pick up a kicker, the strategy that I usually use is not rocket science. I'm looking for the guy on the highest powered offense that kicks indoors so we don't have to worry about weather. Outside of that, that's about the extent of my kicker research. So I'm going to kind of just play devil's advocate here a little bit. You talked about Michael Gallup and his possible return and when he could be ready, and he could be ready earlier than expected. I'm going to take a little bit of a stab and look at it the other direction and say, if he's not, there's a lot of targets up for grabs in this offense, and I'm going to go with Jalen Tolbert, who's been somebody in camp that's really shown out and played well.
Yeah, I think, you know, you're going to find out really quickly what you have with Jalen Tolbert. That's the theme, right? You find out really quickly what you have with these guys. And if you don't, if they don't hit, if they don't pan out right away, you need players to be able to drop for week one when we get those hot waiver wire ads, those players that did emerge, the players that do, you know, take and secure these jobs that we've been, you know, just kind of questioning all offseason. You need those players to be able to easily move on from. Jalen Tolbert is a perfect pick there, where you're going to find out really quickly what you have, because he is going to be on the field week one. Michael Gallup isn't, right? You're going to find out really quickly what you have there, like that selection with Jalen Tolbert. All right, Jake, that is the end of the mock draft here. Why don't you run through your roster and just kind of give me your overall takeaways on it?
Yeah, sure. So we got Derek Carr at the quarterback position. Starting two running backs, we got Dalvin Cook and Aaron Jones. Two wide receivers, Amon-Ra and Juju. Kyle Pitts at the tight end. Travis Etienne as my current flex. Colts as my defense. But honestly, it is a little bit, I would like to have a higher tier wide receiver if possible, but I do feel with the guys that I have on the bench, I'll be able to deploy two of them every single week and find two guys that are going to be verge 10 targets a week, 8 to 10 targets a week. And that's really all I can ask for as heavy as I went at the running back position. So having guys like Elijah Moore, Christian Kirk, Devontae Parker, even Jalen Tolbert to start the year, we know they're going to get some volume, and that's really all I need for my wide receivers. If I can get volume there, I feel like the team overall is strong. Tony Pollard on my bench, along with Isaiah Spiller and Irv Smith as well. Honestly, I find it to be a pretty solid lineup. I think when you look at it on the surface, it may not be as sexy because there's not some big name wide receiver there. But overall, production wise, I don't think it's going to hurt too bad.
I think if you are going to load up on the running back, especially too, you're going to load up on running back in the first four rounds, but then you're also going to take that tight end. You're sacrificing that wide receiver position, right? It's just a matter of how ADP plays out. But if you do go that route, then you got to go with volume. You got to go with the potential there to make up for it. And especially too, in this league, in this format where we're only starting two wide receivers, that's a strategy that I think will play out pretty well for you. All right, for my roster here, I got Jonathan Taylor, Ezekiel Elliott, Michael Pittman Jr., AJ Dillon, Allen Robinson, Gabe Davis. Man, this is a Kyle Yates team through and through. Damian Pierce, Trey Lance, Brandon Ayuk, David Njoku, Alexander Mattison, Khalil Herbert, Michael Gallup, Isaiah Pacheco, and the Denver Broncos defense there. No kicker. We will pick one up right before the start of week one. This is completely littered with players that are my guys. I think actually, Michael Pittman Jr., Allen Robinson, and Gabe Davis were my three my guys. AJ Dillon and Damian Pierce were my two running backs that were my guys, and Trey Lance was my guy at the quarterback position. So I think that this is a Kyle Yates draft through and through. I absolutely love the strategy, how this played out, going Jonathan Taylor there at the 1-1. Didn't mind drafting at the 1-1 spot at all. All right, Jake, that'll do it for this full PPR mock draft. Thank you again for carving out some time here as we make the final push to week one. Why don't you let everyone know what you got going on over at the Fantasy Headliners and where they can find more of you and your work?
Yeah, I mean, we are just now getting geared up to go full steam ahead for the regular season, where we do 11 videos a week. Anything you need from start sits to rankings, anything like that, we got it covered over there. We've been doing daily videos since April now at this point. So a lot of content out there, put together a great team of guys just going out there. We want to kind of come across as just, you know, you're sitting down talking football with your boys, right? Nobody out there is a professional expert, quote unquote. We're all out there trying to do the best that we possibly can and enjoy a game that we all love. So if that's what you're looking for, youtube.com/thefantasyheadliners, where you can find us.
You guys are absolutely crushing it. And again, congratulations on 150K. All right, that'll do it for this episode. If you are watching over on YouTube, youtube.com/fantasyplaybook, make sure to hit that like button, hit that subscribe button, and stay up to date on all the future content coming out. That'll do it for Jake Hubman. I'm Kyle Yates, and we'll see you next time.